Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Do you normally weigh yourself in the morning?
Yes, in my underwear. Just like anybody else does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When do you weigh yourself, Rob, in your underwear in the morning?
In 2012.
When I was drinking my Michelob Ultras, come on up, shake my hand, mm-hmm. I'll tell you about the mm-hmm. show and everything. When I was in my Irish whiskey phase, go away! Stay away from me!
He must be drinking his problems away.
Mike invented social distancing when he was drinking brown liquor before the pandemic.
Eyes down, please.
When Robert was first diagnosed with his cancer a million years ago, the one piece of advice I remember from his oncologist was, all right, we're going to keep him in the hospital, go home, don't Google anything tonight. He says, you're just going to get yourself, you're going to get yourself all worked up.
And you know what? Sometimes it puts your mind at ease. I found out that a lot of people frequently urinate.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show. We are enjoying our second decade of the show that has become a daily routine for thousands of listeners in great places like Cass, West Virginia. I don't know whether that's named after Mama Cass or not. Lahaina, Hawaii. Mm-hmm. I've been there. I've been to that town. Bumped into somebody from Washington there. That was a listener.
How weird is that?
I'll never forget it. It was incredibly gratifying. Yeah. I remember saying, hey, Mike, I hear from across the street. It was somebody from Northern Virginia.
Hi, Mike.
In Hawaii. No, drunk. No. York Springs, Pennsylvania. Nampa, Ohio. I'm sorry, Idaho.
Idaho.
I'll get it right. Hooksett, New Hampshire. And Charleroi, Belgium. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. And I have to say, Rob, we were a little surprised when our boy here laid that on us right at the end of our little pre-show meeting.
Sure.
That I didn't know he was scheduling a doctor's visit. I had absolutely no idea.
Of course.
But, you got your physical yesterday? Is this a full bend over Mr. Babar physical?
Well, one can dream, Mike. Apparently, I'm not at that age yet where you bend over.
Oh, you can if you tip.
But I did ask for it. I said, do we got to go down there?
No, you get a prostate exam when you're 40.
Of course you do.
My doctor said no. I was shocked by that.
All right, let me look it up. Go ahead, continue. But yeah, I'm thrilled that you got your physical.
Thank you. So I went. So the awkward part was two things. She said, what has caused your weight gain? And I said, have you ever been to WandaFarmer.com? And I said, doctor.
Here you go, Oscar.
Here it is. Olivia John, everybody.
Yes, that's enough of that.
I don't know if you all have this.
At age 50. There you go. The discussion about screening should take place at age 50 for men who are at average risk of prostate cancer. So that's it.
Well, maybe it is, 50. Mike, that since you and I have had stomach issues in the past, maybe that is why they accelerated that process for us.
Well, in my case, I don't know, Rob, you're newly 50, and I am, I've been around for a very long time, so I may not have remembered not getting it until 50.
Well, because of
I really don't know.
Our shared past, I know we've all had our stomachs explode at one point or another, and I think my prostate exam was at 40.
We'll get back to you because we have more maladies than you do.
Oh, sure,
we'll
sure.
get back to you in just a second, but if I can digress a little bit. The most exquisite pain, and I've been in pain with a variety of orthopedic injuries.
I cannot wait to see where this goes with that setup.
The most exquisite pain for anybody that's had a condition that I have called diverticulitis.
Yep.
A condition that I was battling last week and into this week a little bit. I'm pretty excited because I believe I've got a person that's giving me kind of a home remedy that works very, very effectively, and I'm able to move out of that as time goes by. So, and I think I'm successfully doing that. So really happy about that. Simple fix. I won't discuss it here. I will tell you, though, at one point when I had what's called a flare, and that's exactly what it is. It's like somebody taking
like a flare.
Mm-hmm. In your
or
lower abdomen and going inside of your insides and lighting the flare. It's that painful. It's really painful. Mm-hmm. It's an acute little pocket of weak tissue that gets inflamed and irritated, and it causes abdominal distress, and it's horrible. And then it kind of makes the entire area around it very sensitive. So, and it's inside your gut. And right. Imagine that pain. I remember I had one of these, and they wanted to get an image of what was going on down there. And I had to go get, I believe it was some sort of MRI, CAT scan MRI deal. And I had to get it, and they had to pump up this stuff into me from the other end, and I had to hold it. And I have never, ever been in more agony than I was. Not letting go, because if I let go, it would let go. It was the most exquisite pain. Anyway, that's my stomach. But I don't remember when a doctor started putting his finger there.
I honestly thought it was once you get into closer to your mid-40s. That's something you asked for.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Age
45 for men at high risk for developing prostate cancer. You're not at high risk, are you?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm a podcaster. Right. So I said to my...
And you can quote him.
I said to my doctor, I'm just here to pick up scripts. I thought I was there just to pick up scripts. She goes, no, you need a physical. It'll be quick. So I go into waiting room A, and I put on the little gown, and she walks in, knocks on the door, walks in. She's like, what are you doing? I said, oh, I thought we were going to do everything. And she said, oh, no, you can put your clothes back on.
You have a female general practitioner?
Yes. I've had her for over a decade.
And you were naked in the room?
Well, with the little piece of, with the napkin that they give you to put on, the robe.
Do you think she might have misinterpreted it as an advance?
No. I just felt like a rube because I got completely nude underneath this piece of plastic.
Understood,
right?
Yeah.
Well, they gave you the plastic robe to wear, right?
The nurse practitioner said, you can just jump up on there, which is that...
The table.
The table with what looks like wax paper.
It's a vinyl table with butcher's paper on it, essentially.
I saw a robe.
Butcher's paper.
It is butcher's paper. She's
absolutely
right.
What are you, 90? I swear to God.
He's absolutely right.
Butcher's paper.
Well, it's a big roll of white paper. It's what it looks like to me.
It's right next to the apothecary.
That's right.
There we go. That's it.
We can cure you with twine.
I want to be clear on one thing. Did you, is somebody texting you now?
No, I just want to see the notification. That's all it was.
Okay.
I'm being too loud. My watch told me I'm being too loud.
You're being too...
Seriously, that's an Apple Watch thing? No wonder I can't have an Apple Watch.
My question for you is this. So a nurse told you hop up on the table.
Yeah.
You assume, was there a robe handy? Was there a folded robe?
There was three robes in plastic hanging...
There were three robes.
There were three robes hanging on hooks with plastic over them.
Right.
So I was like, all right, I'll grab one of these guys, throw them on.
So you made an assumption. You made the jump that you hop up on the table in the robe naked... with just a rope.
Because I thought we were going Super Mario Brothers, checking the plumbing, doing all kinds of things. I prepared myself mentally.
Yeah, Mike, and remember, robes can, be open.
Right.
If need be.
I get it.
Yeah, in the back.
Yes. Oh, that kind.
Put them on backwards.
I'm still, flashing back to that urologist assistant that, did the whole deal on me. I think maybe she might have been a cleaning lady that just happened to pop into the room.
Are you still in touch with her?
No.
Sorry to hear that.
No, I never went back to that guy because that guy was an F up. I didn't have anything to do with it.
So she says, let's go check your weight. You don't have to put your clothes on for that. So I'm like, all right, maybe I'll shed 5 pounds worth of clothes.
Good. That's a good thing.
Always.
So I wish that the entire medical field would change the way that they weigh you to a digital scale. Because then you don't have to go through the, it's not even trauma. It's, just
is it the slidey things?
The pain of the sliding scale of them just keep on pushing.
Well, yeah,
pushing.
And I also think that really getting back to the naked thing, I've always weighed myself with a pair of boxer shorts and nothing else. I don't have shoes or anything in my pockets or heavy, incredibly heavy 60-pound shirts on.
Yeah, when I do it, I take out my fillings.
But I mean, when you weigh yourself, Oscar, how do you, what do you normally weigh yourself in the morning?
Yes, in my underwear, just like anybody else does.
Yes. Mm-hmm. When do you weigh yourself, Rob, in your underwear in the morning?
In 2012. No, if I were to weigh myself, it would be in the morning in the bathroom, either in underwear or it may be even au naturel because you're about to shower.
Oh, because you sleep that way too.
Of course.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You sleep naked?
Yes, I do, ladies.
Oh my God.
So
what's this? What's this mark on this sheet? So we all do that. So my point is, hey, doctors, come on. You know, you're not getting a real reading of the person's weight.
My true takeaway is they're stuck in their ways. What they could do is get a digital scale, calibrate it to each of their patients so that they can just, it shoots right to some sort of medical app that can keep track from every time instead of going with your number two pencil, writing down the digits to look busy.
I bet they could arrange it where they know you're coming in, you step on the scale, and it just gives you a plus or minus of where you were from last time.
I don't mind seeing the number.
Well, that's just diverting you from the reality of what the weight should be.
I tell her, I was like, I'm about 210. Like, last time I weighed myself, it was 210. Maybe 209 with this.
But some of the offices do have a digital scale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe mine is low rent. Because
high class or old school.
A great doctor's office.
Great.
You can tell right away
Went to the doctor's office and it was a great one.
Mine is middle of the road because they were convenient and she had late hours. That's the only reason
I think my general practitioner has a digital scale. An office, my sleep doctor the other day had the sliding scale. And if you want to know what kind Rob has the one that you see at the front of the grocery store that he maxed out at in 2011. Sir,
You can make fun if you like, but does your doctor give you your fortune when he weighs you?
Michael jumped on the scale coming out of the Publix the other day. Yes. And he's like, Dad, you get on. It's like, no. And I see the top. Yeah. I see the top one. By the way, I'm under the 3 bill mark, but mm-hmm. I still see the, and I'm fully clothed. I don't even want to have that embarrassment. I don't want to be that close. He said, Dad, get on the scale. No, Dad, come on. Dad, I said, no, I don't want it. No, Dad, come on. No. I gave him the Satan voice.
Get in the car.
Let's go. Come on. I gave him Dikembe Mutombo.
No, no, no. Not in my house.
Come on, son. Let's listen to the
redoing that commercial. My favorite all time.
Great. My favorite is the kid with the cereal. Yeah. When he tosses the cereal
and
it
explodes.
Yes.
And it explodes. No, no, no.
No, no, no.
Dikembe Mutombo.
My true takeaway is this, is that you don't need to get your plumbing checked until later in life, as she told me. She said, you're not ready for that yet.
That's true. I just read it.
All right, no problem. I'll get dressed and blood pressure, 120 over 78? That's not terrible.
That's textbook. That's perfect.
Was there a little disappointment? Was there a little disappointment?
Well, I thought it'd be great for the show, Mike, but, you know, this is what we get.
And 500 said, over 300.
This is so inappropriate to have this discussion, but we have to.
No problem.
You said she has been for about a decade. Can you give me a rough estimate of the age?
Honestly, it could be 15 years. I'm not sure. Okay. She's a little older than me.
Here we are.
Wow. So you started going to her when she was...
It's a family practice. I started with her mom. Okay. And then it went to her daughter, the daughter. So, you know, she said that she can't wait to try. Like, we have chit chat. She's a child.
Is she Latin?
No, she's not Latin. Okay. She's, I think she might be from Pakistan, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Super sweet. She did say this in the nicest way possible. She said, what would you attribute your weight gain to? And I gave her the WandaFarmer.com. She left. She goes, what would you really want? Why would you really want to gain? Well, this is roughly 15 pounds since the last time I saw her. And I said, well, doctor, I saw on the nightly news that 50% of Americans have gained at least 30 pounds because they've been at home.
The pandemic.
Yeah, yes. The pandemic.
You've heard about it, right? It's in all the papers.
She said, okay, we're going to see you in 3 months, and I expect this weight to be off. And I said, you got it. And I stomped on out. And I said, thanks for the scripts. I'm out. But no statins, right. No blood pressure.
How's the
medicine.
Gut? How's
We're
the
good.
Belly doing? How's the tummy doing?
It's good, Mike. It's good.
It's good. As far as digestion, you had some ulcer things, right?
Under control, no problem.
That makes me feel good. Life's that means good. You're comfortable in your work environment. Yes. You're not ridiculously stressed.
Life is great.
That's a good thing. Yep. That's wonderful. Any other, what about the venereal disease? Under control?
No, and I did notice there was a chart in the doctor's office. That they call it venereal infections.
Yes.
Now, instead of disease.
Fun to read, too.
So I'm sitting there reading it while I'm waiting. And I wonder, I was like, do people even call it VD anymore? Or do they just call it sexually transmitted infections, STIs?
So they're not even STDs anymore?
I don't know if they do, and I didn't want to have that conversation with my doctor because I thought that'd be awkward.
Oh, don't change that. That was fun. STD.
STI. Was where
you don't want to get an STD. I finally got used to that one
right.
Instead of, you know, the painful drip, drip, drip of gonorrhea.
Oh, and I was a boy when they say, oh, you're going to get the clap.
The clap?
Yeah.
Was the clap gonorrhea?
The clap was gonorrhea, yeah.
The clap was gonorrhea. I remember we had a DJ that we work with. We tell this story every time forever that was proud of the fact that he had the clap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like that somehow indicated that he had sex with someone, although that someone happened to be dirty enough to give him the clap.
Yeah.
That was nasty.
My policy is always as if you get the clap, you really deserve a refund.
The clap.
The clap.
Yeah. STIs there's a line.
Sounds too controlled. STDs.
I like STD sounds more insidious.
STI sounds like a Subaru.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doesn't it?
The new Volkswagen STI.
Yes,
now
with
more horse.
Oh, that was
Is there an
car.
STI?
Yes, there is. The Subaru WRX STI. And it was super embarrassing.
STD is what it
should be. Yeah, it should be. Yeah.
I agree. You know, but the chart screamed STIs.
Mm-hmm. By the way, in the an ancient movie called The Big Chill, when a lot of great actors, Kevin Kline included, were babies, Jeff Goldblum, baby actors. You want to go see? Want to see a great movie?
Glenn Close,
an entering real adulthood movie.
It kind of launched the whole baby boomer as a movement type thing. Because remember, that was the first popular soundtrack that was oldies oriented from that era. It was a good movie.
And really a great movie. And the movie holds up. I think it's great. There's a line in the movie where Jo Beth Williams is talking about her husband and how she doesn't worry about her husband cheating on him. And you say, well, is he religious that way? It's something that, why wouldn't he cheat on you? Is it religion? Is it because he's afraid of you? No. Fear of STDs. Oh, fear of herpes. Fear of herpes.
Herpes, yes, that's right.
That's why he wouldn't do that. I may have had, I don't think it was irrational, but I think that in my formative sexual awakening, I may have had a true terror of herpes. Like if anybody would even, but mine, you have to understand, it was obsessed.
Okay.
It was obsessed. I'd be shaving and I'd get a little bump and stuff and what is that? What is that? Who was I with? Who could have done? She looked fine. All I did was kiss her. Could I get it off a toothbrush? It was a little disconcerting with that. But they have an office thing with STDs,
on
STIs
the chart,
in the office?
Well, they had one that
I
showed
don't like,
the reproductive systems.
Yeah, that's always
that
medical posters, Mike.
STIs.
I don't like medical. What the medical poster I hate the most is the faces 1 to 10 tell me how much it hurts.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a stupid scale. That is the worst scale in the world.
My general practitioner, and this is not meant to be, stereotypical, but have you ever seen in the movies, Mike, that there's like a bazaar?
I'm sorry, when you say stereotypical,
it's like an outdoor market, like anything, like or how about this? This is probably better. Have you ever been to a Starbucks bulletin board when Starbucks was actually you could walk into one and the bulletin board is covered with stuff?
Sure, yeah.
Community bulletin.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think they don't say no at my doctor's office to any medical posters. They get them. They put them up.
Any framed artwork or mostly just free stuff from the drug company?
Just free stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Free stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Free stuff. And another tell for your doctor's office, if I may, Mike.
Yes.
The quality of television they have in the lobby. If and my wonderful doctor, who's affordable, she has an insignia. And I judge her every time I walk in.
How big?
It's probably 42 inches, not big.
At least it's not ridiculously small.
No, but it's an insignia. You might as well have a Westinghouse and scream, I don't care about my practice.
By the way, why do doctors and dentists feel as though putting on the Home Improvement channel is the only thing that we want to watch in the doctor's office? I mean, we've become so divided as a society. It used to be the news would be on.
Yeah.
And then it became, you have to either put Fox or CNN and it's going to piss somebody off.
Sure.
So now they have DIY all the time. I'm watching these horrible shows about that.
I have antidepressant commercials running on mine the entire time. It's like on a loop. I think it was provided by a pharmacist.
You're kidding. So even their television is provided by the drug company.
It screams, don't jump.
Well, I was at the, I had an oil change this weekend, and then the waiting room they had.
Is that at the doctor's office?
Well, they had Cinemax on. I thought that was nice.
Skinemax. By the way, which isn't. Excuse me. I get them all because I still have the company pay for them.
Right.
Skinemax is no longer Skinemax. When did Skinemax stop being Skinemax?
We had a story a year and a half or 2 years ago where they said there's so much real porn available for free that they don't focus on it. Yeah.
Look, a friend of mine said to me, Schmike Oshmara said you can never have enough.
Oscar, don't refer to Pornhub as the hub because you will confuse me with a classic furniture store from the Washington, D.C. area.
I remember the hub.
The hub, yes.
Can I throw one thing out, Oscar, please. I don't mean to interrupt you, but regarding the hub.
Yeah.
I have no idea the ages of these people that are content generators on these particular websites, but little message from me Nicole Aniston. Would it kill you to maybe generate a little new content? All right, that's all. Go ahead. I just thought I'd throw.
What if there's a merry mix-up?
Oscar Fantana, when he was a true deviant, and he had a subscription to the premium hub. He says that's where Nicole Aniston puts out her new content.
Filter that.
Right.
And
that's
Mike,
what he said.
What if there's a merry mix-up and Nicole Aniston shows up on the Friends reunion? Just like a paperwork.
You're obsessed with that.
A ratings bonanza, I'll tell you that much.
I know Oscar would be tuning in.
Mike, the last insult to insults. And look, I'm not going anywhere. My doctors, they're in Kensington. There's so many reasons why my doctor is inconvenient
England?
To me in my life. Kensington, Maryland.
Oh, okay.
Because it was close to Olney. I'm sure I went to her because I lived at my parents' house and it was next to my dentist.
When he gets to the doctor, he has to go to Kensington on Thames.
I still try to train both of you boys to speak to a national audience. I always try to. Old habits die hard.
I'm sorry. Apologize.
Yes, go ahead.
Outside the Beltway. Not close. 40 minutes outside the city. I go to pay for my copay and I take my phone to their little credit card machine because I'm trying to pay with my phone.
Yeah.
And she says, oh, we don't take smart pay. And I sat there and I was like, you got an Insignia, in my mind, you got an Insignia, a Westinghouse, whatever it may be up there. And then you've got no Apple Pay. Like, we've been in a pandemic forever.
Yeah.
How are you doing this? What's going on? I judge
them. So you need them to update. You want them to update
a
little bit.
Now, will I write a letter to let them know that maybe they got to step up their game? No chance. I'll just let them know through this platform.
Yes.
Is this the office manager's responsibility, the person that's running that front desk, or is it the doctor themselves?
I think it's both because they also have a bit. This is what screams quality healthcare people. When you have a piece of tape across your credit card machine and it reminds the person that's running the credit card, no Amex in big, bold letters.
Oh, that's 1980, baby.
Classy.
That's pre-19. That's
Classy.
I mean, I get the whole Amex. See, that would be problematic. I mean, of all the businesses that maybe should take all the cards,
you're troubled by the fact that they don't accept Amex. Oscar and I are troubled by the fact that it's on a piece of tape.
A label maker? Something.
Yeah. Dyno label maker.
Since we're on the subject, quality of furniture. Everybody goes to the doctor can relate to this. Quality of furniture in the... By the way, because I went to my sleep doctor the other day.
Yep.
Kind of like, nice furniture, but it looks like they got it out of a thrift shop.
Mm-hmm.
They look like maybe, big leather, sort of semi-mismatched, but leather.
Okay.
But it was semi-mismatched, and then the walls were really barren, and then you go to the dentist that we just blew off. And it looks like Architectural Digest just sent somebody in to do that.
Yes.
Where is your general practitioner on the scale of this? What's in the office?
What's that? Okay, the Bob's Furniture. This is a local. It might be national. I don't know, but at least local.
I think it is national. But
they have something called the Pit, where you get the dent and scratch furniture.
Mm-hmm.
The furniture she has is one rung below. Again. Fine before the pandemic, post-pandemic, I want something that looks clean all the time.
I get it.
So
I get it.
I kid you not, when I get up off the chair, as I've rested my hands on the arms of this old chair, I go up and pump, clean my hands before I walk into the doctor's office.
Because it looks dirty.
Yes.
And also keep in mind, unless it's like a pediatrician's where they have a sick side and a well side waiting room,
which can also be dirty.
Yeah, but you're intermingling with sick people. That's why they go to the doctor.
Well, and I think that when they go to doctor business school,
yeah.
when the doctors get done with all the medicine and they're, you know, how to actually make money being a doctor.
Yeah, it's
I think that I think the first day they said, now whatever you do, you're going to want to resist the urge to have a lobby that looks really clean and comfortable. Because everyone, how many really, even expensive doctors, a lot of times it's obviously an afterthought. It's
kind of course.
You know what? My old colon doctor, that doctor had a 10.
Well, you're going to need
office.
A lot of cushioning for those patients.
Yeah, and I when I went into that office, I would always smell the seats. It's terrible. It's disgusting. I just grossed myself out.
I think that the doctors, they learn how to take blood pressure, then they teach them to buy chairs that bolt together. That's what doctors love.
I think they go for the cheap.
And of course they do.
If you did a survey, it would be a great survey, by the way.
A great
quality
one.
Of doctor, or take pictures and say this one. I think it ought to be more of a thing.
They make
enough money to
okay,
do
so
that.
Okay, so that's all the bad. The one glaring and I say over the top good was as soon as I sat down, my doctor's office, which is if you're looking for a grading of like scale of doctor, a solid C.
Okay.
Always available, always can get in, fine.
Good.
They
high praise.
They said, I sat down, they said, oh, do you need the vaccine? And I said, I'm already one shot in. They're like, we just got a full shipment today.
We're
which
winning.
Made me that's, feel that's so
great.
Good.
That's great. Because
if my C grade, terrible furniture, insignia Westinghouse TV doctor is getting that type of service and access.
They're winning. Regular doctors are getting them. It's going to be a big deal.
Amazing.
And that is exciting to me. That is great
the
news.
Problem
that's fantastic.
With Oscar's doctor, though, they got a lot of vaccine, but only one syringe. It's a glass syringe, and you have to share it.
They
sanitize.
By the way, my last, I will always remember 2020 would be the year of the video. Most of my meetings with my doctor have been, in fact, all of them have been via teleconference.
Yeah.
That's the way they do. You know, when he's telling me about the sugars, how to get out of the sugars, you know. So I would hope that during this time, he may have taken the opportunity because he has another, that's a threadbare office too, you know. By the way, any business. And I say this having been a retail business
and a
owner,
restaurateur,
right,
in the bar business. I will tell you this: one of the first things I did, I de-taped the business.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing in your office should be put up with Scotch tape.
Agreed.
Scotch tape is not designed to put up pictures or posters. And there are plenty of them that just put tape on the wall. It sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's like saying we are cheap F's that don't care. That's why we put it up there. Yeah, it does. By the way, the effort, you know what? I hate to use her as an example because, yes, it's one little room that she's got.
Yes.
But my God, you walk into my wife's esthetician room where you're going to get your facial. First of all, you could eat off the floor. And secondly, everything, every single teeny tiny little chair and poster and little inspiring quote and wooden clock or whatever. Everything has been meticulously designed. There's no reason not to, you know. But I mean, Scotch tape on the wall, you might as well say, hey, we decided we tape some disease to the wall for you in your doctor's office. Let's do that. And by the way, oh, no need to replace that chair where Junior decided to write on it with pen. That doesn't matter at all. It's terrible. And I understand. And look, even though it's the medical profession, there's no guarantee that they're making money hand over fist.
No,
true.
Not necessarily.
I'm empathetic to small business, and especially if you own your own practice. It's not like you're going to Kaiser. It's just someone that a family practice. But I think putting about 15 years into this family, I think they would have gone rolled to Costco on a holiday TV buy and said, you know, let's upgrade this one guy because it speaks volumes of who we are.
Almost, you know, better to have no TV than a lousy TV. You know, put out some magazines.
What's the best way to put this? There is a frame around the TV that says, excuse me, allergies, hopefully, and that says, this television provided by whatever pharmacy in paper. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, Why would that pharmacist want to advertise this terrible television's been up here?
Just like
with the same video.
Just like Jimmy's at the Super Bowl.
Yes. Yeah.
This TV provided by Rent-A-Center.
It just seemed weird because I'm like, why would you even put something up?
Yeah, they traded
Maybe they're getting paid for it. Who knows?
It's better than Dr. Preble. Okay. Dr. Preble back in the day. All right. Doctor, there were no TVs when I was a kid getting my allergy shots. There were no TVs. And the best thing about Dr. Preble is Dr. Preble had giant horned rimmed glasses. They looked like they weighed 70 pounds hanging on his nose. And he's a big, tall guy. And he had graying hair that he slicked back with Vitalis. Oh. And he would come in there and he would burst in. That it was the greatest thing in the
white
world.
Coat.
I loved it. He made entrances like you'd get the. Let me see if I can give a knock sound. It'd be like, it'd be the quick knock and then the exploding door. It'd be like. Boom, door opens. Hello, young people. Every single time Dr. Preble did that. Every single quick knock.
That's cool.
Hello, young people. And then, all I know is he had a hot nurse at the front, and somehow she became like his number one assistant. And then they got married.
Was there a Miss Preble?
Evolution of such.
Was there a Mrs. Preble before that?
Yeah, there was a Mrs. Preble that might have worked in the office too. I think that was his farm system. I think that's what he did when he was doing his doctrine. You know,
PHARM system.
Yeah, Dr. Preble, Dr. Novi, dentist. Mm-hmm. Dr. Preble, good guy, house calls, the whole nine yards.
Wow.
Brought me up. No pediatrician thing. He was my doctor forever. Dr. Novi, I think, played with people's minds. Why he had the antique drill. In the office when you walked in to get your tooth examined. Your tooth examined? Did I just say
your tooth examined?
I can't wait till my doctor.
Then there was my
this.
Brain doctor.
He was good too.
I was thinking, what if I get a call and then I'm fired as a patient?
Because of doing this?
Well, it's funny because I literally have never railed on this. I just felt coming out of a pandemic. And I sat there, I'm like, if you're getting the vaccine, and we're like C grade doctors here, let's be honest.
C grade.
I'm fine with, but it just...
You'd rather get it from your doctor than get it from the drugstore, in my opinion.
Of course.
I'm getting mine at the drugstore.
Of course,
tomorrow,
for the vaccine. Great. Congratulations. Yeah. Great for the vaccine. Super excited that everybody's getting it, which means...
And congratulations to Katie Forbes and her husband, Dan, who still managed to look like he was going to throw up after he got the vaccine shot. Did you see that screenshot?
He looks like that all the time.
Does he always look like that? Does he always have that expression on his face?
He does.
I am a suffering man. Yeah. That's what it was.
I mentioned yesterday, I think Robert got his first vaccine yesterday, right? He got
that's
the Pfizer at the big mega center in Loudoun County. So all of our family is on the way now, which is awesome.
Oh, he didn't get it at Fireworks Pizza?
Yeah, he got the fireworks.
We got to take a break. Anyway, so you're healthy? Is that the
That's good. For at least another decade, Mike. We're good.
That is wonderful. And doctors, up the game a little bit. You can get used furniture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or get
Bring something from your house.
Bring it from your home.
Yes.
From your home.
Bring it. Let use the chair that grandma farted in. That's fine. Patients won't mind. We'll be right back.
All right. It's me, Matthew McConaughey. What's up? I'm just chilling, having a cold one, and getting ready to run for governor of Texas. I live in Austin. All right. I know that everything this dude needs for a great campaign is available at the TMOS Shopping Center. Flags, bunting, yard signs, buttons, also bongos, shell necklaces, body oils, water pipes, but no shirts. All right. So don't forget to shop Target and Walmart at MikeOMaraShow.com. Come in the booth. Vote Matt. It's where it's at. I'll run the state smoother than a Texas drawbridge. And if you want to know my platform, I am remarkably centrist because you don't want your government to be all right.
Thank you, Matt. Matthew. Matty. Appreciate that. Hey, tomorrow's my day. I close on my loan from Cornerstone. I'm very excited about that. And they've been just a gem. Joanna's been great to work with. Mortgage interest rates have taken a breather this week and are back down, leaving the 30-year fixed rate still in the twos. But you got to hustle because you never know when those feds are going to mess around again and keep those rates not where they are, but have them go up again. You never know. How long can they artificially keep them this low? Anyone's guess. So the time to act. fact is, no. You need to call my friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial before rates move higher again. It's a great time to refi or to purchase. And when they say personal attention from application to closing, all of us are living proof that that actually happens. They stay with you and they let you know. And with their electronic way of signing stuff, it couldn't be easier. We really, really urge you to take advantage if you can to get your house refied or get a new mortgage. They will be the people that can work with you. 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. The housing market is volatile, and it's now more important than ever to work with a team you trust. I trust them. Rob trusts them. Oscar trusts them. Cornerstone First Financial. As a direct lender, they can guarantee to meet or beat any offer. Remember, 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Call now. And thanks to all our listeners that have supported Cornerstone. They're a local advertiser with us. We appreciate that, although they work in multiple states. Cornerstone First Financial, personal attention from application to closing.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is The Homepage.
Today, ladies and gentlemen, is National Beer Day. Hooray, hooray. It's National Beer Day. So if you ever needed a reason to drink a bunch during the day on a Wednesday, this is it. A new survey for the holiday asked beer drinkers just how much they drink in a week. And even though the most common answer is just a few, I just had two or three. There are some people who are really going for it. 65% of beer drinkers have between one and four beers a week. Quitter? Anyway, 4% drink between 16 and 20 beers a week. That's two to three per day. And 5% drink 21 or more beers a week. That's between three and infinity. Per day. Oscar, well, I'll ask Rob. He's the beer drinker. How many do you consume now?
If I'm drinking beer in the night, it'll be four or five. I mean, because, you know, you'd have one when you get home, and then the first one almost doesn't even count. So
per night?
Yeah.
And say, how many days of the week?
For beer, three or four times a week. I always have a drink, but it's not
round
always
that
beer.
Up to 125 beers.
No,
that's so 125 beers a week.
Exactly.
Yes.
I wonder you're always going to the ABC store. You're always running out.
That's right. Well, you got to keep the business
alive.
But
you don't do beer now, right? If you're not drinking beer, you're drinking something else.
Exactly.
Correct?
Well, I drink every night, but yeah, it's not always beer.
What is it instead of beer?
Sometimes it is vodka. And I still, you know, Crown on Rocks is very, very nice.
How do you take your vodka normally?
You know what? It's kind of a toddler drink, but with lemonade. Vodka and lemonade with a lot of ice. Very nice.
All right. I love it. The survey also found beer is the most popular drink people order at bars. That's no surprise. And people believe beer drinkers are more approachable than people who drink any other type of booze. Absolutely true story. When I was drinking my Michelob Ultras, come on up, shake my hand. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you about the show and everything. When I was in my Irish whiskey phase, go away! Stay away from me.
He must be drinking his problems away.
Actually,
he's
when you
drinking
were
drinking brown liquor, keep your hands and feet away from his mouth.
Mike invented social distancing when he was drinking brown liquor before the pandemic.
Eyes down, please. Congratulations, America. Not only did you make the Cash Me Outside girl a millionaire, but you've made Kim Kardashian a billionaire. Kim makes the Forbes list of world's billionaires for the first time this year, thanks to Skims. I don't know what those are, but apparently
it's the shapewear that she has out.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And her KKW beauty line, in addition to her revenues from her TV show, product endorsements, and other investments.
She's a billionaire?
Billion. Yes, she's a billionaire. KK Kim Kardashian.
The
divorce,
K.
Though. Yeah, money can't buy you happiness. All the time. Is that too loud?
I like the fact.
I do. Especially based on a strong statement.
Very good. America has a very up and down history with celebrities becoming politicians, and we love to criticize Hollywood stars when they wade into politics on social media or at an award show. They get a hard time.
Sure,
but apparently we're gluttons for punishment because we actually want celebrities to run for office. I'm in that category. I don't mind it now. I accept it. The the ceiling's been broken. According to a new survey, more than 30,000 American adults, 63% say Hollywood stars can make good politicians.
One of the greatest lines, Mike, in Back to the Future, when Michael J. Fox is trying to explain that he is from the 80s. He says, "Our president is Ronald Reagan." And Doc says, "The actor!"
Well, we just had a promo with Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
He's talked seriously about running for governor of Texas, while Dwayne The Rock Johnson is considering a presidential campaign, and 58% of people say they'd support them. I'd like to hear what they have to say and see how they perform under pressure before I wade into that.
You didn't include that in your Rock prediction about being a huge star. You never predicted the presidency.
Yeah, but he's eclipsed my predictions.
Of course.
The early predictions that were spot on accurate. Thank you. Lena Dunham. She announced that she's starting a new clothing line with her goal being to, quote, cultivate a space where the question of whether a plus body will be embraced by the clothes is a non-issue, and the clothes and the clothes are not demanding that a plus woman hide. But critics say it's not inclusive enough because it only goes up to a size 26, which some people say is closer to medium than plus size. I don't know women's clothing sizes, and I'm a fat person, so I don't feel that I'm the right person to comment on this. An exec at the company that's making the clothing says, quote, "We took a lot of time perfecting the grade up to a size 26, which included multiple fittings on a range of women from size 12 to 26 with varying body shapes. Our ultimate goal is to dress as many women as possible, and we are completely open to expanding past size 26 in the future." So there's that.
And
why are you being so goddamn quiet?
And our brand new Hindenburg line.
I don't buy into, just because you say inclusive, it's got to get everybody.
Yeah.
You just can't. Right. The business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I don't know. Do you know sizes? I'm not sure.
Oh, I know sizes. Zero, my favorite.
Right.
One or two is the highest I go on my map. I remember when my mom used to take me to Lord and Taylor, and I'd look for her sizes. Yeah. She'd always be upset. She'd always be upset because I'd come back with smaller dresses. You don't know shapes when you're a kid.
Right.
You just go and get things that you think your mom will fit into.
Yeah, he speaks the truth. There has to be a top.
But there is a different sizing chart for women.
Of course, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know them as well as I should, but I used to know them.
Yeah. So 23 long.
I have a pro tip.
Oh, you do?
A hot tip? That you actually have to put more saliva on your palm so you can get your Jack Vail fart machine to actually activate.
The question is,
do you have enough saliva being in Florida?
No, I'm dry. I'm dehydrated. Severely dehydrated. I'm terribly sorry. Hey, we were talking about doctoring today. So,
doctoring.
Google has turned us all into amateur doctors and maybe also professional hypochondriacs. I think everybody goes to Google if there's something wrong they don't know about, which is why we always thought it was a bad idea for people to go to Google to diagnose themselves. But maybe it's not. Listen to this. According to a new study out of Brigham and Women's Hospital and Harvard Medical School, it's not such a bad thing for people to Google their own symptoms because we do a pretty good job on the diagnosis. And that means we usually find out that we're not dealing with the worst case scenario, like you probably have a cold, not bronchial super cancer. It helps us with our anxiety. But the doctors behind the study say this won't be true for everyone. So if you know you tend to be a worst-case scenario type of person, hi, everybody, maybe avoid running to Google every time you have a sniffle. I actually avoid it sometimes because I don't want to go skeer myself about what's going on.
When Robert was first diagnosed with his cancer a million years ago, the one piece of advice I remember from his oncologist was, all right, we're going to keep him in the hospital. Go home. Don't Google anything tonight. He says, you're just going to get yourself, you're going to get yourself all worked up.
It'll scare you.
We went home and we Googled.
STIs.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're in your teenage years. Yeah. That ingrown hair could be something else.
Yeah.
And you know what? Sometimes it puts your mind at ease. You know, I found out that a lot of people frequently urinate. So moving right along, now we have a little something.
Almost everybody, Mike.
32-year-old. It just cracked my shit. A 32, sometimes the lines just are tailor-made. You don't know they're coming. A 32-year-old guy, his name is Lacey Gentry. And he was fired from a Walmart in Concord, North Carolina last week.
Carolina.
He was so mad about it that around 6 a.m. on a Friday, he drove his 2015 Volkswagen Passat straight through the front doors of the Walmart store.
Not good.
Then once he was inside, he kept driving through some aisles. That's always better. Fortunately, no one got hurt as he drove around the store, and it was totally trashed. Lacey was arrested and hit with several felony charges. It's important to point out that while this was going on, there were still not enough cashiers at the checkout counter. Thank you very much. That's your Walmart. Dealer's choice here. We can either talk about why we elect a-hole politicians, or we can have the great final debate about movies with Mike and Oscar. What do you want to do?
I want movies.
It's coming. Godzilla versus King Kong. Not the movie itself, a debate. Next.
Eli, you boy. Drain dry. I'm so sorry. Here, if you have a milkshake, and I have a milkshake, and I have a straw, and my straw reaches across the room and starts to drink your milkshake. I drink your milkshake. I drink it up. Did you think your song and dance and your superstition would help you, Eli? The only thing that will help you is the TMOA Shopping Center, Target, and Walmart. You, boy. Access them at MikeOmeraShow.com. Be part of the solution. They have milkshakes, Eli, and straws. And, Eli, if you go to the medical section, there will be blood. I shop it up.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Daniel Day-Lewis. You didn't put in the drainage. Bummer. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show brought to you by Theragun. I love Theragun because it's the best, and they do what I need them to do. Don't let the stress of daily life weigh on your body. Theragun can help. Theragun is the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using depth, speed, and power, and it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. The Gen 4 Theragun gets you to the source of the pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. And man, is this thing put together. I'm looking at it right now. It's in the corner of my office. I wanted Carla to use it on me last night, and that's not a bad thing, okay?
No,
don't make it something it's not.
Team effort.
Just a little tweak the old back, and I love their LED screen. Their design's amazing. It's built so beautifully. You got to go to their site. Check it out. Plus, the Theragun app learns from your behaviors and suggests guided routines. Theragun, trusted by 250 professional sports teams, elite athletes, hundreds of thousands of customers, and me. Kevin Durant and Aaron Rodgers, they invested in the company. That's how much they believe in Theragun. Sports teams all across the nation love it. Try Theragun for 30 days, starting at only $199. Go to Theragun.com/TMOS right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/TMOS. Theragun.com/TMOS. All right. So Oscar rolls in. It was yesterday, I believe, before the show, and is talking about how much he loves King Kong versus Godzilla. Well, my kid was off on Monday, and I promised them that after he went out and got his little swings in on the driving range that we would go home and we would spend the afternoon looking at the TV box and watching that fabulous King Kong versus Godzilla. And I got duped because I said, okay, most of America is watching this movie.
Right.
Maybe. Impossible. Impossible for me to, I don't even know where to begin.
Okay,
in my inability to enjoy this. I'm not about to attack you. I'm simply saying my own personal inability to digest what essentially is a video game.
Were you ever a Godzilla fan, ever in your life? In any iteration?
No, but I probably was a King Kong person.
Okay.
I probably went to the theater to see the King Kong with Jessica Lange back in the day.
Have you seen Skull Island? Just passing through cable.
My son has seen parts of that King Kong Skull Island thing.
Great. So
I saw the Jack Black one on video.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Fine. That was pretty good. That works. I like that one.
So the Godzilla universe, or the for me at least, is something that I don't remember as a kid. I got in probably in the first iteration of King Kong because of the soundtrack to King Kong. It was very popular at one point. I think Led Zeppelin or Robert Plant was part of it. I think that P. Diddy, when he was known as P. Diddy at that time, did a song for it that really brought it to the forefront of
pop
culture.
What, Godzilla?
The original Godzilla. Not the original. The remake in the 2000s.
Like the Matthew Broderick one? Was he in that? Yeah.
Yes.
Because, Mike, the original Godzilla had Raymond Burr.
This is Raymond Burr. I'm Raymond Burr, and we're going to get that monster that's created by nuclear fallout, and then I'm going to have a nut log fresh from the oven, wrapped in foil. You can eat. That is an old bit that I used to do on the Don and Mike show. I used to allude to the fact that Raymond had a proclivity for eating things, strange things, things that you and I would not find in any way palatable.
So,
here we are.
When I recommended this to
Thank you,
is because I went into the film with very low expectations. The Skull Island was okay. It wasn't anything crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And the previous Godzilla experiences I've had, subpar. And then I went into this film. I said, how much better can this get? Low expectations.
Right.
And I was thoroughly pleased with the experience, especially when, spoiler alert, Mecha Godzilla appears, which is essentially a transformer of sorts that comes and tries to take over the world.
He's a transformer and a Godzilla?
Godzilla, but...
And is it okay to call him a Godzilla?
Well, wait a minute. In the new movie, there's a robot Godzilla, too.
Mecha Godzilla.
It's called Mecha Godzilla?
Yes, that's who you saw. Did your son enjoy it?
Let's have a claw that spins.
Did your son enjoy it?
He loved it.
Oh, yes.
I don't know
if
he loved it, but he liked it. I didn't. Yeah. I drifted off. I was looking at my computer half the time. I actually fell sound asleep.
No.
Mike, in Godzilla King of the Monsters, Raymond Burr's character was named Steve Martin.
This is Steve Martin. We're going to find that nasty little creature. It's under the sea out off the coast of Japan.
Do you have to watch out for anything floating in the ocean, Raymond?
Listen, before we tackle the monster, how about a snack? Long history with Raymond.
My father detested Godzilla. Wasn't his thing.
He hated it.
80, and he's like,
all right,
this is so unbelievable.
Look, I'm not prepared to argue because you like it. I don't. That's fine.
My nephew loved it.
Yes.
And my brother-in-law, who's, I think, 51, was just like, we could have picked something else.
Yeah. But it's an IQ issue. In some cases, it's cinematic IQ.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not talking about your IQ. You have an MBA. You're a bright guy. You're super smart. You are the backbone of our business. And I would never, ever question your intellect. Your movie IQ.
Yes.
Is that of a toddler. I will say this, though. Here's the main reason. Yes. I like my monsters to be scary. Godzilla has never scared me. Godzilla looks like an overweight lizard.
Yeah.
Godzilla has this tiny little head and this big fat body. The shape of itself of Godzilla is dumb. You can't even make out Godzilla's face that much. I was much more scared by the robot Godzilla, Mecha. Mecha Mecha High Mecha Heiny Ho.
Yeah, yeah.
Godzilla. That one. Mecha Lecha High Godzilla was the robot Godzilla. But Kong, on the other hand. Kong is scary. Kong has got the scars across his chest and does that.
I love Kong. Love Kong. And I had a Kong poster when I was little.
And then can get like a super close up and go, like that. But as soon as they enter, and the whole there, you know what's another issue with Kong versus Godzilla? There is a perspective issue where sometimes Godzilla looks as big as the entire town, and then other times it's shorter than King Kong. It doesn't matter. They didn't give any thought to that because they thought they could get away with it.
Well, I think there's a history. There's a history of that. In the original 1930s King Kong, the black and white one, his perspective changes when he gets to New York City to make him more horrifying. And this was done on purpose by the filmmakers. So I think they monkey with – I didn't mean that. I think they change it around as an effect and maybe even as an homage. But it's very notable.
I like the monkey.
Original.
The monkey was okay.
I love King Kong.
I enjoyed the monkey.
I like all
of – King Kong, you know, and then early on in the movie, the reason I fell asleep is because I know right away, well, of course we're going to root for King Kong instead of the lizard.
Yeah.
Why would you root for the lizard when you've got King Kong? And that's boring, too. So you know who's going to win.
I bet Pony rooted for Godzilla.
Of course. I mean, he's the savior of Tokyo. He, like, protects
Why is Godzilla
Tokyo
the
Mothra.
Savior? What?
He protects Tokyo from Mothra and other weird creatures.
Oh, that's the bug, right?
In, like,
that's
the OG Mothra, Godzilla.
Mothra. Yeah, OG. Well,
exactly.
Isn't Mothra, wasn't that the third super monster to come out after? It was Kong, Godzilla, and then the Moth, right?
I don't think Kong was part of the original Godzilla stuff.
No, like, but he was within the universe.
Well,
he was within the universe.
They eventually married, but Kong is an American, construct because he was from Hollywood in the 1930s.
So you've got Godzilla, you've got Mothra, and I'm going to create my own new one.
Please.
Cockroach Shigato.
That's probably in there. That's probably
Cockroach Shigato, Mr. Roboto.
So, like, maybe the takeaway for me was I thought it was going to be a terrible movie. There is some insight.
Which it was.
Into there's some excitement that it's in the theaters and it's at home. So,
how is the storytelling?
It was much better than I was going to give it credit or I even expected. You could
slow motion
it.
CGI.
You could follow it.
How
it
many
hard.
Buildings can you blow up when it's so easy to blow up? You know what? Back in the day when they had to, like, glue things together and really use, like, you know, Zippo lighters to light things on fire, there's a challenge. Now it's some nerd dink that just sits there and goes click, 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 and they can blow up the world. And it's not a big. And how many things do we see? Oh, we have to see the little spikes on the back of Godzilla swimming through the water at 1,000 miles an hour, and then Kong, who, by the way, could destroy cities, but, you know, they give him a good Ace Hardware chain to keep him chained to a boat. I mean, come on, give me a little break here. All
you
right,
you have to suspend reality.
What?
I guess
for this
you
movie,
do.
You do.
Yes, you do.
And also, Mike, really, one of your key problems with the movie shouldn't be the strength of the chains. It might be the fact that there is a lizard coming out of the ocean to destroy the world.
Well, the whole thing. I like my scary movies to be scary. Now, as an adult, I'm talking not for my kid. My kid enjoyed that. Could sleep afterwards. Wasn't really that freaked
good,
out.
Good.
Because it's not really scary at all. A monster movie like King Kong should be scary. It's not really. It's big. Yeah. It's explosion. What's the thrill? What's the thrill that you get, Oscar Santana, watching that movie? And better yet, what is the thrill that your little nephew gets out of it?
Mechagodzilla that I've heard of prior to this film. I just have never seen a screen.
He did mostly stage work before now.
I've never seen, and I wasn't expecting, I didn't look deep enough into the movie to see that this
isn't Mecha Godzilla the Islamic monster?
No. It's man-made, Mike. Man-made.
Yeah.
Not as Mecha.
What are you so afraid of,
Ramadan.
Boy?
No, not that.
It's Mecha Godzilla. Here he comes again.
Not the holy city of Mecha.
No, sorry, it's different.
Mechanical. Sorry. Mechanical. Yes.
Oh, okay.
So, I didn't see that coming. I also didn't see the way that I could be invested into a CGI Kong and how much emotion they bring to you. Like, man, I hope Kong doesn't get beat up by Godzilla. Even though you know, you're like, this is going to have some sort of happy. I hope it has a happy ending.
Yeah, you got to start his heart.
And my nephew, he loved it though, because
I remember that part.
I think my nephew's
you woke up for that?
God bless him.
Yeah.
He was, for the first 5 minutes until his dad told him to pipe down, was bitching about how he had to watch all these other films in order before he got to this King Kong versus Godzilla.
Right.
And his father had the best line. My brother-in-law said, "It's a monster movie. Nobody cares.
That's right.
Just watch."
Yeah.
Did Luca
it's
complain about the TV?
You don't have to care about anything. What?
Did Luca complain about the TV?
No, we had settled the brightness situation.
Oh,
yes.
good. I remember.
You know, there's three categories. I'll give you three categories. You get Kong versus Godzilla. Monster movie, not really scary. Don't worry about it. More the spectacle than the movie. Then you got really scary, okay? I use an old movie called Silence of the Lambs. That's scary.
That freaked me out.
It falls into the third category, which is don't sell your children. They will be traumatized forever.
Yep. Pet Sematary
because
as
it
well.
Is so hyper.
Freaks you out.
Pet Sematary was a nasty one.
Mm-hmm. Pet Sematary was scary. The old Pet Sematary filmed in my town in Maine with Fred Gwynne.
Yeah, and Dale Mitkiff, I think, was the guy, was the lead.
What? How do you know? How do you know that? And why do you have to share that? Dale, who?
I think
you mean
his name
the actor that has never made another movie.
Well, I think I know of him because he played Elvis in a movie, and it was really hard for me to watch Pet Sematary when I said, "Hey, look,
memorizes what he likes."
That's Elvis up there,
like everything else in his life. Memorizes what he likes. If he likes it,
he'd love to play Elvis. He'd love to play Elvis. He wanted to see what the career path was.
Yeah, it is. It is Dale Mitkiff. I got it right, actually. Amazingly.
Congratulations. Yeah. By the way, the house I drive by when I'm up in Maine all the time.
Yes.
It is a scary looking house. And actually, it's a beautiful house, but that's the way it goes. So anyway, draw your own conclusions if you want to waste, what was it, 4 hours or something like that?
Don't waste. It's something that's at home. It's free. Yeah. And if you're into monsters, why not?
All right. There you go. I don't know. There's just not, it's not my cup of tea, but it was a cute little monkey. Big monkey.
Big monkey.
Stinky. Right.
Hey kids, time to start your day with a delicious new breakfast cereal. Yay! You'll love the taste of new sugar frosted Cerritos.
Oh, good!
Toasted corn crunch with the delicious taste of buffalo wings. Part of a supercharged breakfast. Just look for Goose Cerrito in your grocer's cereal aisle. And be sure to look for a bonus in every box. Speaking of bonus, why not try the delicious taste of the TMOS Bonus Show? Click the link at MikeOMaraShow.com. From the makers of your favorite Kellogg cereals, Marshmallow Macielos, and Peanut Butter Pony Pops.
They're okay.
Peanut Butter Pony Pops.
Delicious.
That was the most fun that I had in that commercial. Oh. That was great stuff. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Why shouldn't you give? No, I'm sorry. Why should you choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because a good night's rest helps boost immunity, improve recovery, and increase energy. That's why you need Sleep Number. And this is amazing, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to this. Sleepers who routinely use their Sleep Number 360 smart bed features get almost 100 hours more proven quality sleep per year based on internal analysis of sleep sessions. And since the pandemic began, Sleep IQ sleepers have gained an average of 53 hours of restful sleep compared to last year. So, if you want the best night's sleep ever, keep a consistent sleep schedule. Mm-hmm. Dim all the lights, keep your bedroom at about 66 degrees, and most of all, get a Sleep Number bed. I wouldn't sleep on anything else. Remember, a great day starts the night before. I really want you to get a Sleep Number bed. My Sleep Number setting is now a 65. So is Carla's. It's absolutely the best. Proven quality sleep is a life-changing sleep. Introducing the new Sleep Number 360 C4 Smart Bed. The queen size is now only $1,499, only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com/TMOS. Just make sure they know that Mike O'Mara sent you. You've been doing that for years, and I sincerely appreciate that. Rob Spiewak, I have to mention, is sending a son off to college at the end of the summer. And he's all growed up, and he's a growed up boy now, and it's pretty amazing to hear about Robert going to college. I got to be honest with you. I've been there from the beginning.
It's surreal. I mean, you visited us at the hospital when he was born. And you know what? He was born, to put it in perspective how long ago it was, when the DC sniper was going on. Because I remember in Carrie's hospital room watching Mike Buchanan lose his mind every morning covering the DC sniper
stuff. So mad. Mike Buchanan, God rest his soul, was so mad about that. And a guy we used to poke a lot of fun at, but safe home, Joe. Joe Krebs, local TV
legend.
Personality, lost his battle with pancreatic cancer. So sorry to his family, and our thoughts are with them. But anyway, your son's growing up, and you were talking about using him.
Yes.
I have no idea what you use him for
well,
now.
Well, Mike, it is, as you know, springtime is upon us, and this is the time every year where Carrie thinks she's going to be Martha Stewart, and she starts changing things on our crappy deck, like it's going to magically turn into something fantastic.
Shangri-La?
Yeah. See, let's put... You know how the grill is here? Let's put it here. Oh, so much better. What about the table? Let's move it this way. How much? 6 inches. Isn't that better? Oh, this will be great for entertaining. Oh, it will. Absolutely.
I really can't understand why she hates you.
So, also, the big thing this year is that under our crappy deck, she wants to have a swing because, you know, the deck provides sort of coverage over some, it's like a patio area, right?
Yes.
And it's almost like a hammock for one. It's a sit-in swing. And
when you let your dog out from the basement, from your basement, do you let the dog out beyond the fence line of your little area?
Oh, he's walked every day, but when he just has to pee, he goes out into the backyard area.
Is there dog evidence out there? Is the grass and area kind of dogged out a little bit?
A little bit, yeah. But you know, it's also it's hard to tell because of the wintertime. Because
I guess the question I'm getting at is, with making that like an area, do you even think that's a valid
idea?
Well,
actually, there's always a lot of enthusiasm every spring. That sort of dulls by the time the summertime rolls around because no one really has the enthusiasm to carry through. And I'm a creature of in of doors. I prefer air conditioning.
I don't want to look.
You don't need to preface it. Just say it.
I don't want to defend your wife, but I think it's because of the Washington, D.C. climate. You get 3 weeks that you're like, oh my God, I could live outdoors.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a humid soup, and you're like, I never want to be outdoors.
Yeah, you get the excitement and the false excitement.
Every spring.
There's a reason I'm down here. I always kind of chuckle at that, where you're like, oh, it's 75.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's going to be a glorious summer. Mm. No, it's not.
But
you're
going to
have Florida temperatures in about an hour. Get ready for it.
1 hour. The actual backyard area, we have rose bushes planted. We have a small Japanese maple that we put in, some hydrangeas. It's actually, when the summertime rolls around,
beautiful.
It's very nice. But she wanted to have this swing put in so she could be
hydrangeas.
In the shade and then look at it. And I looked at the installation, and I realized it's not that tough. It is a hook that has to be four huge wood screws that go on the underside of the deck.
I think it's called a papasan.
Yeah, I believe that's exactly right, Oscar.
And you're going to put them in the beam.
Yeah, exactly.
Not in the little slats.
Exactly. And so start looking at what's going to be involved.
That would wreak havoc on your feet on the upper deck.
Ow, 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 ow.
Oh, you wanted a swing.
I'm going to look up the papasan that I think he, where'd you guys get it from? Do you know?
We bought it through Target.com,
okay,
through the
good,
Mike O'Mara show.
Good.
And
sorry,
so we actually got two of them. Only one has been installed as of yet. And so I started to look at the way.
Sure, you don't want to upgrade to the sumo-san?
It ain't for me, man. Remember,
okay,
I got it for my birthday. Remember, I got an Adirondack chair.
Mm.
And so
I'll be
seated on that while Carrie swings merrily in the breeze. So
I'm just doing that's my impression of your Adirondack chair.
Mike, we use very hardwood.
Okay, yeah. But, you know, you don't want to throw yourself down in it.
No, you ease yourself into it. So then I started thinking about the four wood screws that have to be, you know, it's probably, 8-9 feet in the air has to be installed that way. I said, you know, this would be a great job for Robert to do because that way I don't have to get on the stepladder and do it. And because he took a semester of stagecraft in high school, he is familiar with using a drill. And I said, son, here's what you're going to do for your mom for Easter. And he's like, okay, I can do it. Will you assist with finding the tools and all that? I said, absolutely. So we get the extension cord. We get.
Do you really say, will you assist with finding the tools?
Well, no, he said, will you be there while I do it? I said, yeah, of course. So we get the extension cord and we get the drill and we tape the bracket up so it stays still. And he marks that he drills the holes and he starts to put this bolt in. And he says, I said, son, what you really need, he comes out with a 5-inch monkey wrench, you know, an adjustable wrench. I said, that's not what you need. What you need is a ratchet. He said, okay. So I went and got our ratchet set, which has been with me a long time. And, you know.
He's 18 now?
Yeah, he is 18. He'll be 19 in December. And so, no, his is September. And so we go through and I go.
You haven't burdened him with a lot of household tasks, have you?
Well, no, he does what he does. He handles the trash.
I mean, when rolling out there with the ratchet thing, I would think it would be kind of self-explanatory.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we're consulting. And so I get the ratchet set, and it's like any old ratchet set. It's sort of busted up the plastic inside, so all the attachments are rolled around. They're not in order. And I realize I seem to be missing something very important, the 14-millimeter ratchet. because 13 is too small and 15 is too big, and
yeah, I
can't find 14.
About.
And so I said, "Son, you're going."
And
to
then you have another set of ratchets that's not the metric system.
Exactly.
So they're actually that. And by the way, that's how they get you. They really
want
to screw you.
Yes.
They burn you with that. Like, oh, it's a metric ratchet. Oh, well, I don't need a metric ratchet.
So I find the old monkey wrench. It's probably 15 inches long, weighs about 40 pounds. It was Big Daddy's. This is an old, old wrench. I said, "Son, all you got to do is get up and tighten those bolts, four of them." And he says, "Fine." And what I proceeded to watch was an absolute display of a young man embracing frustration. And it was delicious, because it wasn't me. I was just enjoying the fact.
What were the challenges of the project?
Well, pardon me. First of all,
because really the ultimate, we're talking about screwing two bolts into a beam.
Yeah, but you got to tighten. You got to tighten the bolts.
Four.
Is what he's trying to
four bolts. Four bolts.
And it is, you know, going into wood, and it was a properly chosen drill.
You're looking up.
It's over your head.
Yep.
And also, because of the age of the monkey wrench, about every second or one and a half turn, the setting would change, and he'd have to take it off and retighten it.
Yep.
And so I watched him try everything.
Not having a ratchet is making that
been a ratchet, even I could have done it. But
did you have any regular wrenches that might be the right size?
No, didn't have a regular. And besides,
that would have made it quicker, too.
But also, because of the tightness of the bolt going into the wood, especially as you got further up, you needed that actual leverage to push on that, and he wasn't getting that part either, because what he would do,
your knuckles and hands are in the way.
He was tightening it and using it almost like a screwdriver. He was holding it parallel, or I guess
well, that's because he's underneath it.
And I said, "Son," he says, "Dad, I'm putting all I got into it." I said, "If you were to turn it 90 degrees and push on the end." And this is why I'm
get more leverage.
But I'm also it's not beyond me that I'm explaining this while seated in an Adirondack chair, while I'm telling him how to do it.
And that is funny.
It's a bird. It's a plane. It's lazy man.
I did eventually get up onto the stepladder to show him the best.
So
way.
So, is your Adirondack chair is located on the lower level?
On the lower level, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Because all that's where my solo stove is.
Okay. All right. So you just chill out. Do you hang out with a solo stove in your and a beer in your Adirondack chair just alone?
I have.
Okay.
But it's nice when people. It's nice when people
are outside.
If you have actually, I mentioned this on my birthday. Julia brought marshmallows out and kept me company out there.
That's wonderful.
It was very, very nice.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
It was a wonderful notion, knowing that Robert has the strength and wherewithal and the patience that I wouldn't have had to get this thing up and mounted. And Carrie is delighted. It's up. I didn't have to do very much with it. But sad, right? That in 4 months or so he's going to be gone, and he will not be around to do chores anymore.
Well, have you changed the oil in the car? Add to the. You ought to come up with a. You're old enough now. You're 50.
Yeah.
You're 50 now. You come up with a list of things that you don't really want to, and things that need a little bit of elbow grease that you don't want to do, or you really do need help with.
Yeah.
How are you like when you've got a project that you need assistance with, and you ask Carrie? In my house, it's problematic sometimes.
No, Carrie is a good helper. One of the last times that Robert really, really disengaged with me when we were doing a project, I replaced a light fixture in the living room, which is a pretty big deal for me. Because again, this is a reach over, unscrew, remove. You have to check the wiring. You have to kill this. And because I was wearing when I was wearing my Birkenstocks, and we have a tall ceiling in that living room, I hooked my heel and fell from about the fourth ring of the ladder onto the floor.
You're wearing footwear that should not be used for anything other than sitting in an Adirondack chair.
Exactly.
Or going to a museum.
How did you fail to tell us that you fell off a ladder because of your slippers?
I told you this. I told you this was some time ago. And I fell flat on my back. And Robert came over, and his first comment
to me. That's a nasty fall for a man of your size.
Scary.
Did it knock the wind out of you?
Knock the wind out of the people next door.
Deep impact.
So I fell on my back, and Robert comes over, and this is three or four years ago, so he's a younger guy. And he was basically limited to make sure, flip that switch, make sure the light doesn't go on. Hand me a wire nut. Hand me a this. Hand me a that.
Yeah,
he was just helping out. His first comment when I landed on my back was, he looked at me, and he looked up. He says, "I think it might be crooked."
Not even concerned for your broken vertebrae at that particular time.
So I've got 4 months to work him like a horse, and that's what I'm going to do.
Get it done. Get her done. And he can always come back on break. So, I mean, that can happen, too. So that's cool. I by the time my husband is my husband, my gay husband is by the time my son is that age, it'll be time to help me into the back of the hearse. We'll take a break and we'll
use
come
more
back
leverage
with the audio digital thing right here. Thank you.
You asked and we listened. Now you can listen on Spotify. In our never-ending effort to make it easier for you to access our content, The Mike O'Mara Show can now be streamed on Spotify, just another platform that gives you full TMOS access. So go grab the show and listen and spread the word. The more you know, the more we grow. TMOS on Spotify. Grab it.
Welcome back to The Mike O'Mara Show. The stock market is made for public trading, so it should be more accessible for everyone. That's why Oscar and Rob just joined Public.com, the investing social network, where you can buy stocks for any amount of money and share ideas with wonderfully diverse communities of investors. You guys have been doing this for a while now. You're enjoying yourself. Rob Spiewak?
Do you know how exciting it is to click on something that says My Portfolio and see that you're up 2.51%, Mr. Scholarship winner?
It's exciting. How about you, Oscar? How you doing with the public?
I'm in a good spot. I got to tell you that. So you can follow me at Oscar Santana on Public, and I will post when I invest.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, I am not an expert. I am just going off of information that I think is valid.
Results may vary with Oscar Santana.
It's like Facebook and stocks mixed up. It's a social media stock market site. It's so cool. It's very neat.
The app is free. It's free to use, and there are no account minimums to get started with the fractional investing. You can buy slices of stocks at any amount of money versus buying full shares. So you can get started with as little as a dollar. When you invest with Public.com, you're never investing alone. They make it easy for you to collaborate and build your confidence as an investor. It's fun. It's exciting. It's interactive. Break free of financial institutions that want you to spend more money and profit from your information. Go to public.com. Go to public.com/TMOS to follow Oscar and Rob on public.com and see what they're investing in. You can start investing today with as little as a buck. You'll even get a free slice of stock when you join. Just go to public.com/TMOS to download the public.com app. Valid for U.S. residents 18 plus, subject to account approval. See public.com/disclosures, not investment advice. And have fun with it, and good luck with you. I'd love to keep tabs on how you guys are doing. That should be a lot of fun.
Cool.
That'll be cool. Let's get it open now, the digital dumpster. I've got my monkey wrench from Rob's Big Daddy, and take it away. It's your turn.
Don't you wish you had the ability to influence people just by the way you talk? Mm. I mean, I guess we do a little bit.
Well,
but
I do.
But is there anyone who...
I just did.
Does anyone have more power at it than Morgan Freeman, who did a vaccination PSA? And I think he's chosen just because he's been the voice of God. So why isn't he, you know, he might as well know what he's talking about.
I'm Morgan Freeman. I'm not a doctor. But I trust science. And I'm told that for some reason people trust me. So here I am to say, I trust science and I got the vaccine.
I love that, the way I love when the ex-presidents...
Not the Morgan Freeman from Shawshank Redemption, though. He is definitely...
Oh, he's aging.
You can tell that the voice is aging, and that's one of my great fears, too.
It's not the American Service Center Morgan Freeman.
No, and it's not Easy Reader, either.
Yeah. Well, that's the bad Morgan Freeman that should have been Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. All right?
Try out this brand new SL500. Drive some fun. Your Mercedes-Benz dealership is American Service Center. I guarantee it. Instead, they had that... sucked.
I'm so mad.
WTOP.
So
WTOP
long.
Ran that spot like 50 times an hour. Why isn't that me, Mike? I should be doing that. Thank you very much, Rob.
But I do love the fact that he's using that power for good. And, you know, he just starts it off by saying, hey, people trust me. I don't know why. But anyway, so there's that. This cracked me up. This is not a new tape, but it was new to me. I don't think we've ever played it. Yahoo Questions is a great little forum if you have a question, but it's also a great dumping ground for misspellings. And a comedian typed in, am I pregnant? And there are so many variants on the spelling of pregnant, and he reads them all as typed. This brought me great joy.
Am I pregnant? Am I pregnant? Am I pargant? Am I pregnant? Am I pegnate? Help? Is there a possibly that I'm pregnant? Am I pregnant or am I okay? Could I be pregonate? How do I know if I'm pregan? Can I be pregnant? If a woman has starch masks on her body, does that mean she has been pregnant before? Period? Question mark. I circle as normal, but yet I still don't get pregnant.
He gave it to me. You know, at first I'm like, no, it's too over the top to read. And then it's like, no, that's the right way to deliver that because you can really emphasize the spellings. That's a great bit. Very,
is
very
she
funny.
Pregnant?
Pregnant.
A survey like has that. Just come out. Do you realize 7% of America is still not using the internet? 7%.
Yeah, I think that's probably senior citizens. A lot of seniors don't
do it. Also, in fairness, there is a digital divide here where there are certain places in the country that just don't have the access they should.
Right, and we are making progress. It was 15%.
I need therapy because I go into the Apple store down here in Cocoonville, and I have fantasies that are so dark and so horrible that it's not even funny. And by the way, 2020 eliminated that because they were extremely over the top about COVID. Mm-hmm. So you really had to go and make appointments and get in there. I think I've had one Genius Bar deal that was recently that I talked to Oscar about. But man, back in the day, that place.
Forever.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Ugh. God, the sea of seniors just going, yeah, what do I do there? You know, not one of them even going online to figure it out themselves.
Yeah, what do I do? Yeah, help me, help me, help me.
From the generation of people that called repairmen, Mike. They would want to have somebody come in to repair their computer.
No, they're really not the generation
of
people that called repairmen.
You're right, they're after that
That's
generation.
The problem. It's the same thing when I see a guy with a tan hat that's like 70 years old. You don't need to look like that. You don't need to look like
don't
that, okay?
Give up.
Steven Tyler's still on stage making music. You don't need to look like you're driving a Lincoln Continental from 1972 with your tan hat, old fart.
My tan hat is my new favorite thing. It
your
just
tan
started,
hat.
Your tan hat.
Your well, tan hat that's not related to any sport whatsoever or even fishing.
15. We're down from 15% in 2015. So we've made some progress in the last 5 years. But I'm guessing that the 7% not using the internet might be Brian Gumbel or Katie Couric.
What is internet anyway?
Internet is that massive computer network. Mm-hmm. The one that's becoming really big now.
What do you mean? That's big? How does one? What do you write to it? Like mail?
That's on the most current episode of the Brian Gumbel show.
It's not. It's in the dark ages back there. Where no one knew.
Exactly.
No.
Is
internet,
it mail?
What internet? I remember like many other people saying, oh, what's the big deal about this?
Yeah.
You didn't know it would literally change our life. That's why the forward-thinking individuals like Bill Gates are mega millionaires. That's the way. Billionaires, actually.
Yes. Let us close with a pair of tapes. Did you know that Helen Mirren, and I've seen the Instagram tape of this, actually once shooed a bear away? Helen Mirren, still very lovely, and was approached by a bear in her cabin and shooed it away. Here she is explaining.
I did have a bit of a meeting with a bear. Yes, I did. I was so excited.
You shooed the bear away.
I shooed the bear away. I told him he was a naughty bear. He was a young bear, so I just said, no, naughty bear, go on, off you go. You're supposed to make yourself as big as possible and say, bad bear. Because it was not a big bear, it was a smaller bear. I just said, you naughty bear, go on, go away.
And Mike, remember the rules when you're dealing with bears.
Rule 17, don't turn your back on bears, men you have wronged, or the dominant turkey during mating season.
Remember that and you'll be A-okay. Thank you, Dwight. That's your digital dumpster. Have a great Wednesday, everybody.
Dwight Schrute. The dominant turkey during mating season.
During mating season.
We got a lot of those up in Hancock, Maine. That's for sure. Oh, my God. Turkeys as far as the eye can see. Yeah, sorry I won't be seeing them or my family this year. Anyway, we got to take a break. We will be back tomorrow with a brand new show.
What is the matter with you?
Something's wrong with me. That's why I see people, professionals. That's why I get. Just trust me, everyone. I'm getting professional help. It's going to be fine. For Oscar Santana, Rob Spiewak. This is Mike and Robert, congratulations on hanging up the swing.
Hasn't fallen
yet. That's
good
stuff. Yeah, very good. We'll be back tomorrow. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
It ain't over till it's over.
Oh, good for you.
Hello. Tomato? Okay, Divotara.
She wants a D and she's going to get one.